Good morning, everybody. Everybody excited about it being hot outside? Get your tanning lotion out? Yeah, my daddy gave me my tanning lotion. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to The Rock if you're a visitor. My name is Miles, and if you have a Bible this morning, we want to see your Bibles and hear word. Word, amen, and we want to see your pens and hear pens, and if you have a bulletin, let's lift your bulletins up and say bulletins, all right, okay, it's probably the only church that gives a bulletin some props. If you have your bulletin, open your bulletin, and we're going to look at our memory verse for the week. If you're new, we are reading through the Bible this year. And we are memorizing verses every week. And if you look there on the left, we have our memory verse for the week, Leviticus 10, verse 3b. It says, let's read it together. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. Obviously, this is God speaking. Let's read it again. By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. This was happening right after two guys were killed because they offered profane fire before God as an offering. They had a bad attitude, and God struck them dead. Imagine if you did something wrong before God, and he struck you dead, or your neighbor dead. And whatever they did, you wouldn't do. Amen? And if you look around the memory verses, a little dotted line where you can cut that out and put that in your wallet and carry it around with you and memorize it for the week. And if you look right there at the bottom, it has the reading schedule. We're going to end Leviticus this week, and next Saturday and Sunday we'll start the book of Numbers. Okay, everyone see that? Okay, turn back to the back of your notes. And the bottom you have Bible trivia. Your Bible trivia question is to list the seven national holidays for the nation of Israel. Seven national holidays. It's a Bible trivia question. And the seven national holidays. And if you look there, it says Rock University or Rock U. We have an online university. If you want to get the answer to that trivia question and the Bible difficulty question and all other stuff about the reading, you get on Rock University. And every week it's being updated with new information per the reading schedule. So as we read through the Bible, you get on that and learn some more about the Bible. One of the things we're doing is we're learning all the books of the Bible. So let's all sit up straight. We're going to quote the first seven books of the Bible. Sit up straight. Take a deep breath. Blow it out. Okay. Let's all say, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. One more time and say it again. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Very good. Hey, let's try one more time. Very good. Give yourself a hand. All right. All right. Okay. How many people are reading through the Bible? Just raise your hand with us. Very good. Wow. Oh, very good. Now, if you're reading through the Bible with us, if you're not, we have a daily walk. We're mailing it to people's homes. If you want to get one mailed to your house, you can go to the Rock Pile store right out the door here and get a book and pick it up. I don't think that we're doing the subscriptions anymore, but you could pick it up from the bookstore and read through. We're in the book of Leviticus now. How many hate the book of Leviticus? It's nasty, right? This person, that person, this person. Well, we're going to have some fun. Turn to Leviticus chapter 16. You can't skip stuff. Okay, you got to read it. You can't skip stuff. When you read through the Old Testament, and you see all these do's and don'ts, all these laws and regulations, and you wonder why we don't do them anymore. In the Old Testament, God established in Genesis, Genesis, the book of beginnings, he created the heavens and the earth, he created man, but he also created the Hebrew nation through Abraham. In Exodus, the book of exit from Egypt, they were delivered out of slavery, and they started their 40-year journey. In Leviticus, he says, I'm going to give you laws and regulations on how to approach me as God and how to walk with me. So he wrote all these laws down. and all these rules and regulations. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that nobody will be justified by doing the law because they'll never do everything perfectly. Okay? They'll never figure it out. In other words, on the Sabbath, you're supposed to rest. And some people say, what does rest mean? Does it mean I have to lay in bed all day? Does it mean I can't cook? Does it mean I can't comb my hair? And different very strict Jewish scholars will say that even combing your hair could be work. Matter of fact, if you go to Jerusalem today, there's a wire that goes all around the city and around every town is 1,000 feet outside of the city border. And if you walk past that wire on the Sabbath, you are breaking the Sabbath because any walking inside that wire is not considered work. But if you go outside the wire, it's work. Okay, that's how technical they get, okay? But the Bible says, listen, you could slice and dice all that stuff. You ain't going to make it. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the religious, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, how do you do that? Jesus says, I've come not to abolish the law, but I want to fulfill it. In other words, I'm going to take the law one step further. Example, the law says, if you murder, you'll die. Jesus says, no, no, no. I'm going to make it even harder for you. You can't even be mad at somebody. Don't even call somebody a fool. That's what Jesus says. The law says if you commit adultery, that you got to be punished. Jesus says you can't even lust after a woman. Okay? Now, remember Clinton? Well, you know, I never had sexual relations with that woman. Remember that? Well, what is sex? And, you know, da-da-da-da. He was slicing and dicing the law. Technically, no. Jesus says, I'm going to take all the technical stuff out of it because I'm going to go to the heart. Okay? I'm going to go to the heart. You may have never done this sexually, but in your mind and in your emotions and all stuff, you've sinned. Okay, so what Jesus did is he took all the stuff in the law, and the stuff in the Old Testament was a symbol of what was to come. When they put a burnt offering on the altar, which you just read about, all these burnt offerings. Well, the burnt offering was symbolic of the person giving the offering saying, I am totally committed to God. Because the fire in the offering would consume the offering. And it was symbolic of when the Holy Spirit was going to consume you as a person. That's what it meant. They gave a sin offering for sins committed out of ignorance. They gave a trespass offering for different kinds of sins committed out of ignorance. It was like a ransom. They gave a meal offering to say, all my possessions belong to you. But all that was symbolic of when we got saved, everything belonged to God. And we were supposed to be consumed with him 24 hours a day. Supposed to. Now, the problem is a lot of us use the law to our advantage. In other words, we use legal Christian thinking to cut corners in our faith. Example, I went to church twice this month, so I don't got to go. I can go skip a day. You know what I'm talking about? I prayed 10 minutes this morning. I don't have to pray for another month. I read 3 books in the Bible today. I can skip it down. I have to read tomorrow. We use it, and you know why? Because we're on a credit debit system with God. God is not on a credit debit system with you. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to lay your life down to him 24 hours a day, 100%, where you are totally consumed with him all the time. It's not do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. So when you read the Old Testament, understand this is a foreshadow of what was to come in the New Testament, where Jesus says, listen, I am going to take all that to a new level where you are just so consumed with me. And my relationship with you is so much better than all this stuff. Imagine if you had to cut bulls up and rams every morning. Oh, God, please forgive me. I mean, they arrest you. You're out in the back of your house burning cats. And, you know, oh, dear Jesus. You know, you be going to people's yards, taking their dogs, cutting them up, you know, and just offering them to God. You don't do that. Now you say, God, here's my heart. Here's my soul. Renew my mind. Well, one of the things they did in Leviticus that we looked at is the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement was once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was, where the commandments were, okay, in the Ark of the Covenant. You remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark? Okay, you remember that? It's We're talking the same thing. It was in the Holy of Holies where God's glory was. And the high priest, who was over all the other priests, would go in there once a year and ask for forgiveness for all the sins of all the people, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And what we're going to look at today is how Jesus himself is a better priest than that guy. That he fulfilled what that dude was trying to do even to an nth degree better. We're going to look at five, depending on my time, five, four or five things. Similarities, how Jesus says, here we in the Bible, you have the human high priest, but Jesus was the great high priest. And the title of my message is The Greatest of All Time. If you're an Ali fan, that's where that came from. I was watching a movie on Ali the other day, and that dude was hilarious. He said he wrestled the alligator, killed the rock, put lightning in jail. That he was so fast, he turned the light off and got into bed before the room got dark. Then he says, I'm the greatest of all time. Well, Jesus is the true greatest of all time. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's look at Leviticus chapter 16. We're going to read some stuff here. Let's just read, and we'll just read a little bit so you can see how yucky this could be. Chapter 16, verse 1. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. Whew. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. And he shall put holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of goats as a sin offering, and one ram as a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself, for himself and his house. And it goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Okay, first thing I want to make comparison is that this high priest is a man. He's a man. And his job was to go to God on behalf of the people. Now, a priest, in the Hebrew word, means to go near. So the high priest would go near to God on behalf of the people. Then he would go near to the people on behalf of the God. He would go near to God on behalf of the people, and he would go near to the people on behalf of God. This is religion. That guy goes to God for me. The pastor, the reverend, the minister, the bishop. Okay? He's the man of God. He goes to God for me. Oh, pastor, please pray for me. Go to God for me. Okay? That's what his job. The Greek word for priest is pontifex, which means bridge builder. That means you got God over here, the people over here, and the priest is in the middle building the bridge. Are you with me? He's only a man. Keep your finger here because we're going to go back from Leviticus to Hebrews. Turn to Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. Everybody say Hebrews. Very good. Look at it. Hebrews chapter 4. Everybody's going. Leviticus, Deuteronomy. New Testament. Oh, yeah, okay, save me a bunch of books. Hebrews, and we're going to go back and forth to Hebrews, so stick a little piece of paper there because we're going to go back and forth about four or five times. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Look what it says. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Everybody say great high priest. He's the greatest of all time. He is the great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Who? Jesus, the Son of God. Guess who goes to God on my behalf? Jesus himself. You don't have to hope and pray that Miles prays for you. Amen. Amen. You can go to Christ himself. You, if you move out of town, you don't have a church, you don't have a pastor, guess what? Get on your knees and pray to Jesus himself. He is a great high priest. He is the one who is in the Holy of Holies, pleading on our behalf. Now, in the Jewish nation, they had to wait for this guy to go in. Once a year, he went in and only can go one time. Every year, it was a different guy. And they waited outside the tabernacle waiting. Okay, is he? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? He would go in there and do his thing. We're going to see in a minute. And they said, everything depends on that guy. Guess what? Everything depends on this guy, Jesus, for you and me. That's good news. That's good news. That's real good news. Turn back to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 16. The second limitation of the Hebrew high priest is that he needed forgiveness himself. Look what it says in chapter 16, verse 4. It says, he shall put holy linen, the holy linen tunic, and linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body in water and put them on. Verse 5. He shall take from the congregation of children of Israel two kids of the goats as a sin offering and a ram as a burnt offering. Aaron, the high priest, shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house or family. In the Old Testament, the high priest was a man that needed forgiveness. In other words, you're banking your forgiveness that this sinner gets forgiven and goes before God and don't mess up. We're going to see in a minute, if he messed up, he died. We're going to see in a minute that if he messed up, he died in this ceremony. Guess what? My high priest ain't a sinner. Turn to Hebrews chapter 7. That's why my high priest is the greatest of all time. Say the greatest of all time. You can't say the greatest of all time. You have to say the greatest of all time. All you young whippersnappers who see Ali as a sick man, he was a character when he was young, to say the least. Verse 7, 28, it says, for the, verse 7, chapter 7, verse 28, Hebrews 7, 28, for the law, Old Testament, appoints as high priests men who have weaknesses, sinfulness. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, all that, who has been perfected forever. You know who my high priest is? Jesus, Son of God, that has no sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who had no sin became sin for us. And he offered himself for our sin. He didn't have to offer a ram and a bull for his sin and then ask. He offered himself as the lamb who was slain because his blood is sinless. His blood is sinless. And guess what that means? That I am completely forgiven if the one who needed no forgiveness took my sin on him. That means he's completely able to have your sins forgiven. You don't have to wonder, is he going to do a good thing in there when he does his ceremony? Is he going to mess up? Is he going to be forgiven? He is the basis and foundation of our forgiveness himself. I'd rather have that high priest. I was at a rental car the other day, and right next to the rental car place was a little, I don't know what you call it, a mosque, or it was for Indian religion. These people were going in there from India and taking their shoes off, and they go in and they have these dolls that they were praying to, little idols. It was a little doll with all this colorful clothes on, little candle, fire, and they were kneeling, praying to these things. And I'm like, man, y'all lost. It's plastic, dude, look. Flick it. It can't even flick you back. And they were going around this one, and the thing is sitting there. Can't speak, can't think, can't forgive, can't cleanse, can't do anything. You got to even dust its head. My high priest is God himself. He's not even something God created. He's God himself. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was what? was God. And then it says the Word became flesh. Everybody say flesh. And dwelt among us. That's Jesus. That's who forgave me of my sin. That who prays for me. That's who I pray to. That's who I hang with. That's who I trust in. God. God. Don't get hung up on people. Oh, yeah, my pastor's over there. My small group leader. You know, that's cool. God. I went out to the desert for 2 days this week. And when I first came to California from the East Coast, I used to hear people go to the desert. And as a kid growing up, you know the desert as... You look on TV, you see sand, it's hot. Who would ever want to go to the desert? But then I went out there, and I was like, yo, it's nice, it's quiet. You know, the Hebrew word for wilderness is madbar, which means to speak. They would walk in the wilderness to hear God speak. Jesus spent 40 days out in the desert, 40 nights, no eating, no water. So I was out there walking around in the middle of nowhere, scared. You know, it's the middle of the day, but I'm still scared, right? Because I'm like, something could jump out and get me. There's nobody out. There's nobody for miles and miles and miles. Matter of fact, I'm walking out there, and I'm praying, but I got one eye open. You know, I'm looking around. And I'm walking out there, and I'm like, God. I mean, I could yell. I could do anything. And I'm out there, and God's like, me and you. Me and you. And God, when you pray to, when you, your high priest is God. You don't need anybody. Now, yeah, as iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another man. You need accountability. You need people to pray for you, encourage you. But the bottom line is that your access to God is God. You don't have to pray to Mary. Mary can do nothing for you. Mary can do nothing for you. The saints can do nothing for you. You're a saint, the Bible says. If you ask Christ to be your Savior, the Bible refers to you in the Bible as a saint. It's up to God. God just wants to have a relationship with you and him. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, that was his intended design, that man would walk with God, one-on-one, hang out. That's it. That's how much love God has for us. I was watching this Discovery Channel the other day, and they were talking about the different weather patterns on different planets. They were talking about the different weather patterns on different planets. Now, and think about this. You have all this light years of space, and you have this planet, okay? Matter of fact, I don't remember the planet. Please forgive me, but one of the planets, it has a constant storm, and in the storm, they could see these circles where the clouds would go in a circle. And these clouds, these circles, were 2 or 3 times bigger than the Earth. And it was just a storm on the planet's atmosphere. And I'm sitting there going, think about this. Just imagine this room was the universe. And out here in the middle of nowhere was this planet. And around it was a storm. What's creating that? You ever think about it? What's got this thing sitting up here? Why is this hot? And this planet got cold. This planet got wind and clouds. Why? God just messed with stuff. Just messing with people. Figure that out. It's God. It's God. Because if you look at it, you're on the planet Earth. You're, you know, 20, 30, 40 million light years over here. And this thing is out here in the middle of nowhere. And all this stuff is happening. You're down here on Earth in the middle of nowhere, because we are in the middle of nowhere. And all we got life and this you know, water, and maybe they got water, and it's lightning and the sandstorms, and the Earth is this big, and these planets are as big as that speaker. Okay? Then they got moons going around them. Why? God just made stuff. This one lady, she was a scientist. They spent 7 years designing this satellite and this spaceship to go up, and they spent, you know, designing all this stuff. And she says, and now we're waiting 6 years to get there. They got to wait 6 years for this thing to fly and get there. And God's just like, he's like, I can just do that if I want and get it there. And they just wait and wait. And God's looking at this going, hey, that's the God that is my high priest. Turn back to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. In the Bible, in Leviticus, the high priest had limited access. Look at verse 1 and 2 and 16. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of his two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come just at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. Whoo, buddy. Do you think anybody was going in there other than that one day a week, on one day a year? I think not. He says, if you come in here when I don't tell you, I'm going to kill you. Now, you may look through the Old Testament and see how God kills people. He killed 23,000 people one day. One day, he opened up the earth. To me, this is kind of funny reading it now. Now, if I was there and there was family members, it wouldn't have been funny. But now, it's funny. Okay? Why is it funny? Because these guys were, you know, messing with these girls, sinning sexually, and God said, look, step aside, y'all. And all the innocent people move away, and he did this. And he opened up the earth and enclosed it. 23,000 fell in the earth. That is funny. He just went, swallowed them up. And then, anybody else want to mess around? Oh, no, no, no. I'm going to be celibate. I'm not even going to have sex when I get married. I ain't going to do nothing. God did not mess around. Turn to 16, verse 34. Once a year they went in there lest they died. Verse 34 says, this shall be an everlasting statute for you to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. Once a year. So the high priest, once he got appointed high priest, he knew he was only going to go in there one time and that the people would get their sins forgiven one time per year, and the next year they had to do it all over again. Turn to Hebrews chapter 9. Say the greatest of all time. Hebrews 9, verse 11, it says, but the Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but his own blood, he entered the most holy place. And look what it says. Once for all, he obtained eternal redemption. When you ask Christ to come into your heart to be your Savior, when you ask him to forgive you of your sin, it is once and for all he's forgiven you, because he's still alive. And he still is vouching for the fact that you're saved. And see, in our mindset, in our Old Testament mindset, I get saved, then I sin. Oh, God's not going to bless me. I got to repent. I got to do good. I got to do bad. Uh-uh. You get saved and you love God, and God loves you. Oh, will you mess up? You mess up. You say, God, I'm sorry, but guess what? You're still his son. You're still his daughter. And you still, I mean, David in the Bible would commit adultery, he would commit murder, and he would repent, and then what did he say? God bless me. God bless me. He's like, man, you got a lot of guts, man. You just killed that dude. I know, and I'm sorry, but can you bless me anyway? You know what? Him asking God to bless him was one thing, but the thing that made David special was that he really repented. He really was sorrowful. He wasn't taking advantage of God. He wasn't taking advantage of God. Guess what? When my sins were forgiven by the Son of God, who sits at the right hand of the Father, prays for me, vouches for me, covers my sin forever with his blood. I don't have to worry about if I mess up, God's going to leave me. I don't have to worry about if I make a mistake, God's going to forsake me. The Bible says he'll never leave or forsake me. My relationship with him is eternal. If, in fact, my repentance was sure. A lot of people pray and they're playing games with God. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about when you sincerely say, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. All your sins are forgiven. God's not forgiven, unforgiven, forgiven, unforgiven. Once and for all. Once and for all. Today, some of y'all have issues in your life. God wants to forgive all your sin. Once and for all. And then you walk with him. And you don't walk with him with a law mentality of do's and don'ts. I messed up. I gotta fix it. You can't fix it. You walk with him by faith, trusting he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he's working on you until the day he comes back. He's going to work on you. Your deal, part of the deal, is that you have to be committed. You have to lay your life down and stop playing the do's and don'ts game with him. I'm better than he. I'm better than she. I'm not as bad as that person. And say, Lord, I am just going to surrender everything to you every day. That's all I know. I'm not going to measure it. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I did the 5 prayers, so I don't have to do 10. Let me tell you something. When I was out in the desert, and if you've never been, we live in a world where it's always busy, and it's to be alone with God for an extended period of time and let God speak to you. And just get to a point where you can acknowledge God for how big he is. I mean, we'll never know because he's just, until we get to heaven and see him. But to acknowledge God in such a way where you see him bigger than you see him today. You experience his love more than you experience it today. You believe in his promises more than you do today. Because what you know now shouldn't be what you know tomorrow. And instead of saying, I'm just going to read this much of the Bible, I'm just going to pray this much of the Bible. Lord, I want to do whatever you want. I know now I only see the edge of your garment, the edge of your glory. I want to see all your glory. Show me something. And so our high priest, let me tell you something. He didn't just forgive us for 1 year. He forgave us forever. Let's get past that. Now let's move into a relationship where we walk every day together, where I can do things in your life. Turn back to Leviticus. Leviticus 16, verse 12. This is hilarious. The next thing about the high priest is that the high priest went into the temple with fear. Look at verse 12 and 13. 12 and 13, it says, then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil, and he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he, what does it say? Die. Ooh, here's the mercy seat, right? The God's glory is above it. What he had to do, he had to come in with this incense and this fire, and he had to walk in, not look at it, light the incense, and let the cloud cover it, because if he looked at it and saw it, he would die. Imagine God said, okay, Miles, we're going to preach on this morning, and blah, blah, blah. And when you go up to that pulpit, if you look at that pulpit and you see it, I'm going to kill you. I ain't preaching. Give me a music stand. I'll just memorize it, but don't put that pulpit up there. Imagine when these guys got assigned to be high priest. It's like, oh, I got to go in there. And now here's the funny thing. Here's the funny part. The high priest would have bells on his robe. Ding, ling, 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 ling. He would have a rope on his ankle all the way out. Are you with me here? So he's going in. He's ding, ling, 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 ling. And if he messed up and he died, what do? They start pulling him out. Can you imagine hearing ring, 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 ring? And then someone says, hey, man, go get him. I ain't going in there. You better pull that joker out. That's funny. So here the guy goes in there with his rope, right? He got his incense. He got his coals. And he's like, ho, 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 whoosh, whoosh. And God is just saying, don't mess up. Don't mess up. And then he would do his thing. Let me tell you something. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews. Say the greatest of all time. Hebrews 4:14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, all points he was tempted. Do you think that Jesus had girls coming after him? Say yes. Imagine you're 16. You have no sin. You could perform miracles. I mean, you could do your girlfriend's hair in a second. Whap! She got pimples. Whack! I mean, the dude was bad, okay? Wouldn't you want to go out with him? I mean, I don't want him to be my friend. I don't want to go out with him, but I want him to be my friend. Okay, so he had temptation. He had a business. He had all kinds of temptation. The Bible says, though, he was without sin. Look what it says right after that. It says, verse 16, therefore, because he never sinned, because he had temptation, because he's a high priest, and he knows what we go through, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. That we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. Now, this does not mean that you come to God with an attitude. Okay, I was watching the XFL yesterday. I pray that thing goes off the air. It was bad. And it really sad because they are promoting just wrong stuff. And everyone's got an attitude. Everybody, it is ridiculous. You don't go to God like that. Boldly in the sense that you fear God, but you come not worrying about the bells stop ringing. God's not going to kill me. God, no matter what your sin is, you know what God says? Come to me in Jesus' name. I'll forgive you. He doesn't need for you to come to him in prayer to kill you. He could just kill you. Think about it.
Well, I'm not going to get saved because, you know, I don't want to become a nerd.
You're already a nerd. I mean, you're already a nerd. You want to come to God so you can become cool. And not cool by the man's standard or by the world's eyes, by God's eyes. You want to come to God and say, God, I want you to take all the crud out of my life. That is what he's waiting for. You don't have to be scared. You don't have to be scared. Look at chapter 10. Look at chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Listen to those Bible pages. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest, the greatest of all time, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water. You know what you come to God and say, God, I know you forgive me. I know you cleanse me and I come to you and I know you love me. I don't have to worry about fire coming down out of heaven. That's not the God of the New Testament. The God of the New Testament wants to accept you, but the God of the New Testament wants to transform you, renew your mind, your heart, change the way you think, the way you act, what you desire. It's not about you figuring out. It's not about you obeying this rule, this rule, this rule. It's about you surrendering your life to him, and he will write that rule on your heart. He will change what you say, what you want to say, how you want to dress, what kind of person you want to hang out with. He's going to do all that inside of you, but it first must come as you laying your life down on the altar and saying, Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I acknowledge my sin is wrong. I want you to forgive me of all my sin and cleanse me of all my filth. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want you to be consumed by your Holy Spirit. You be my high priest. You be my God, my Savior, my Master, my Lord. You be it. And yeah, I will come to this church to learn about you. I'll listen to that pastor to learn about you. But ultimately, it's you and I. It's you and I. I don't have to worry about whether that guy prays for me. You and I are communing together, are fellowshipping together. That's what God wants for you. The devil wants you to put in little boxes. This is your religion compartment of your life, your religion time, your church time. No, God wants all your time. He wants your whole life. Oh, yeah, you get a job, but you work for him. You'll have friends, but you be a friend his way. You'll be a husband or wife, but you do it his way. Everything has to be his way. His way. And so instead of writing all these laws, my greatest commandment is to love God. And what does love God mean? The Bible says to love God is to obey God. Everybody say obey God. Period. If you don't obey God, you don't love God. Don't talk to me about what you feel. If you don't obey God, you don't love God. End of story. That's what the Bible says. That's not what Miles says. The Bible says. So God, I want to obey you. And the only way I can obey you is to read this book, pray and get power, be totally listening to every second of the day, totally surrendered every second of the day. What do you want me to do? And guess what? God doesn't yell. like I do. He whispers, hey, psst, don't go over there anymore. What? Don't go over there to that house anymore. Don't drink that anymore. Don't smoke that anymore. Don't say that anymore. Don't wear that anymore. That's all he's going to say to you. You have to be listening so carefully and be so obedient that you go, yes, sir. That's it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the kind of relationship he wants to have with you. That's the great high priest. If you don't want that, fine. It's not going to be any other way, though. In a minute, we're going to take communion. When we take communion, we are being reminded of what he did for us. We are being reminded that he died and rose from the dead, and we have this relationship with him. But don't take communion if you've never asked Christ to be your Savior. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And if you ask him to be your Savior, he's going to forgive you of all your sin once and for all, because he's the greatest of all time. Let's all bow our heads and pray, and I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for the communion. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your love. I thank you that you are the great high priest. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to people right now who need to be saved. If you realize your sin has never been forgiven, if you realize that Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead, and that he loves you, and you realize it's time for you to accept his forgiveness, in the privacy of your heart, pray this prayer with me. But as you pray, you must believe in your heart that Jesus loves you and that he is the great high priest. Pray in your heart, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. I acknowledge I have sinned. I acknowledge that it will kill me and send me to hell. But I acknowledge Jesus is Lord, the great high priest, that he died and rose from the dead. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart and be my Savior. Thank you, Lord. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, just slip your hand up real high. We can see you and pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. God bless you. 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 God bless all of you. Good. Okay, you can put your hands down. Lord, I thank you for those people. And I pray you bless them. I pray you transform their life and their heart. Bless us as we take communion and we are reminded of what you went through that we may be saved. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to ask you to hold the bread and the juice until we all take it together.